Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Post Game Show, USA at Costa Rica, Post Game Show for 2014 FIFA World Cup qualifying. The United States with a, I don't know if you call it a setback or maybe a major bump in the road. They did lose 3-1 over at the National Stadium of Costa Rica, but the truth of the matter is this. We'll get into the other games in World Cup qualifying, but joining me at the moment is Chris Webb from United Mania Podcast. Later on, it'll be Carter Kirchner when he gets out of the pub, and he'll give us a call down from South Florida. But Webby, let's be honest here. You knew Costa Rica was looking for revenge after the Snow Bowl at Dick's Sporting Goods Park in late March, and it looks like they got it with a 3-1 win. They got two quick goals in the first half, probably the first 10 minutes of the first half, and they were cruising all game long.
Yeah, it's deja vu all over again. 4 years ago, same scenario played itself out. Costa Rica scored twice within the first 10 minutes, and the game was essentially over. And, you know, granted, the U.S. played a little bit better, I'd say, from the midpoint of the first half until they gave up the third goal. But it still wasn't good enough. You know, you can't be on the run that they were on, and then you lose your probably your most influential player, your leader in Michael Bradley, and completely fall apart. You know, if you aspire to be the top team in CONCACAF, you simply can't do that. And that's what happened tonight. This is a place where they've never played well. And, you know, if they could not go in tonight on the 12-game winning streak, scoring buttloads of goals and confidence flowing everywhere, You almost have to think they'll never win a game in Costa Rica, because they were set up to get a result tonight, and they just flat out blew it.
Absolutely, and of course, this is one of those games where it was not so much you're at the old Dragon's Den, it's the brand new National Stadium for Costa Rica, and you figured there'd be some advantage towards the U.S., but it doesn't really matter what stadium they play in the country. Somehow, that country, Costa Rican soil, is going to zap them just almost out of the game. They did have a good comeback, though, towards the end of the first half. Fabian Johnson gets taken down the area by Navas. Clint Dempsey, I don't know if he got psyched out by Navas or was it by the referee, because the referee told him to reset the ball on the spot, and Navas guessed right, but the ball deflected off, I guess, the top of his butt, and it goes right inside the far post to make it 2-1. And you say to yourself at the time, Webby, the U.S. needed that goal before the half just to somehow get back into the match, and they did. They had plenty of chances in the second half, but they just couldn't convert.
Agreed. You know, the goal was rather fortunate. You know, let's call a spade a spade. You know, I'm one of these guys who always says kick the ball down the middle. But it almost looked like a version of Duck Hunt on my old Nintendo 94. It looked like he was aiming at the goalkeeper when he hit him, you know. So we were fortunate to get the goal from there. And then in the second half, you know, Costa Rica clearly pulled back and started defending in numbers and essentially challenged the U.S. to beat that bunker. And, you know, they got a couple of chances off. Clint Dempsey's shot off the post being the best one. And he also had an opportunity for a header about 10 minutes later that was easily saved. But that was about it. You know, the U.S. just couldn't solve that bunker, really. And then that third goal, you know, Tim Howard, you got to come out and clear that ball out. I mean, granted, Matt Beasley is not in the best position. Joel Campbell's very fast, but here's the problem. You know, both of the players were at midfield when that ball was kicked. You know, Joel Campbell didn't touch the ball until he got to the top of the penalty area. To me, that's an easy walkout for Tim Howard to clear the ball out. So I don't understand what he was doing on that play.
Yep, I agree. I absolutely agree. And I don't know what the heck's going on with it, with the U.S. in that it should have stayed 2-1, but unfortunately, the Costa Rica gets that third goal, and it's officially lights out for the U.S. over in San Jose, Costa Rica. It just really looks like Michael Bradley's pre game injury while warming up at the National Stadium, Webby. That really just knocked them out the first 15, 20, I would say the first 30 minutes of the first half, because, you know, we know how important Michael Bradley is to the national team and how they're going to try and qualify for the World Cup. And, of course, it was a left ankle sprain, and he's out for this game. Hopefully he'll recover for the game in Columbus on Tuesday against Mexico. But once again, it was just a tough loss. And thankfully, the U.S. didn't have to make a substitution when the game got underway. They were able to make it before the official game time when the U.S. brought out their starting 11 on the change.
They really shouldn't fall apart if he's not there. It's a blow, but again, you're riding on this wave of confidence. They did nothing but talk about wanting to go after Costa Rica from the jump. And Grant, you know, it doesn't help, obviously, when your most influential player and the guy who calms you down and gets the ball in the right spaces, because God knows Jermaine Jones can't do it. You know, it's a blow. But it should not completely cripple you to the point where you're scrambling again. And then, you know, as soon as they go down 2-0, it's, you know, here we go again. You know, it's like, yeah, the cast of characters may have changed, but it's still the same thing that happens every time they go into Costa Rica. There's just some magic voodoo that's in the air that does not allow them to go in there and not only just, you know, not lose, but just not play well. You know,
yep,
and dig themselves a huge hole. Yeah,
I have to agree with you. And, of course, and watching the replays there on BN Sport, Dempsey are right there, Webby, right into Navas. But thankfully for the U.S., it went off of his hip and inside the far post to make it 2-1 at the time. It's just one of those things where in Costa Rica, the strangest things have happened against the U.S. Remember the 2002 qualifiers, the semifinal round, where Peter Prendergast, he calls that makeup call for the handball? It's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's when Greg Berhalter grew a hand out of his forehead.
I know, exactly.
You know, but look, you know, and a lot was made before this match about the, you know, the Mexican referee being named to this game. Look, I'd rather have a referee from Mexico than some of these clowns from Belize or, you know, some of the smaller Central American countries prepping this game. So, you know, and the referee did a very good job. I have no argument with any of the cards that he gave out, you know, particularly outdoors, which was just so stupid. The Matt Beasler one, we didn't see it because of the feed being generated out of Honduras, didn't catch it. But, I mean, look, if the fourth official catches the call and gives him a card, then obviously Matt Beasler did something. So,
oh, no, absolutely.
You know, they just not, you know, those two instances late in the game, you're gonna lose two of your starters. Now, granted, Josie's coming off of an injury. I'm not even sure he would have been fit to start on Wednesday. I think we would have been pushing it a little bit to do that. I think they pushed it tonight to give him minutes, quite frankly. And, you know, all the goodwill that Josie has built up, you know, seven goals in five games, the hat trick in Bosnia, kind of goes out the window with that one thing he does, because now he hurts his own team going into Mexico. Granted, you've got a desperate, you know, flailing Mexico team. They're like, you know, if they lose that game, that pretty much knocks them out. I don't think it officially knocks them out of the World Cup, but it damn near does knock them out of the game. And Josie's not going to be a part of that. And, you know, and the one thing we've seen from Josie over the years is that this guy rides on confidence in both directions. You know, he's flying high this summer, but you know what? For 18 months, he wasn't doing anything for the U.S. except playing poorly and making bad decisions. And it was unfortunate to see him make another one tonight. Not saying, you know, he's going to turn around and have another 18-month bad spell, but, boy, it just, you know, you can't do that in such a critical time.
No, absolutely right there, Webby. You can't pull that sort of shenanigans that like that at all. You got to keep your cool. You got to keep your poise. You can't just do that and then all of a sudden expect not to pay for it. And he did with a yellow card. And now he's on a yellow card accumulation warning, I believe. I don't know. I think that might be just his first.
No, Joe's out for Mexico. He's suspended.
Oh, he's out for Mexico? Wow.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, again, that's what makes it doubly stupid.
Yeah.
Was that it was completely innocuous, and it was just something just very dumb that he did, you know. And by the way, Jeff Cameron, Josie, and Matt Beasley are all out for Mexico due to yellow card suspension.
Wow.
And, you know, you throw Michael Bradley into the mix there with an injury, and, you know, it's too early to tell right now. We don't know the severity of this injury, but you would have to think that he's not going to be 100% healthy. And, look, you know, granted, there are other options for the U.S. in central midfield. You know, Jeff Cameron, you know, hindsight, you probably would have gone with Cameron at right back and maybe brought in Beckerman alongside Jones. But if you did that, then you would have had absolutely no offense out of the midfield. So in some respects, I'm not really going to Monday morning quarterback that move for Klinsmann, because he had to make it in the blink of an eye because of the lateness of the injury to Bradley. But moving forward, I mean, look, he's got the tough decisions to make about the lineup. You know, who goes into defense next to Omar Gonzalez? Are they going to give it to John Brooks, or are they going to give it to Clarence Goodson, a guy who's had a lot of time against Mexico and knows these players? So there's some tough decisions out there. What are you going to do at right back? I mean, Michael Orozco didn't cover himself in glory tonight at right back.
No,
Graham Souzy. Graham Souzy had a bad game. Fabian Johnson, outside of drawing the penalty, did absolutely nothing. So you had a lot of players who really froze in the moment here with an opportunity to get something done. Did not come up large.
No, they did not, unfortunately. And unfortunately, I guess this is, I guess you might say, and I think I'm going to quote Earl Reed here, Webby, if this is the game that you're going to lose the winning streak on, might as well be this one on the road in Costa Rica, because obviously Costa Rica was, let's just be honest with ourselves, Costa Rica was looking for revenge. They really wanted to take on the USA, and they wanted to harass them and take them out, and you know what, they did the job, and unfortunately for the U.S., they fell apart at the wrong time.
Yeah, there's not much you can say. Full credit to Costa Rica. Look, they were the hungrier team here. They had, you know, they felt slighted because of the snow game. I mean, that's all a bunch of, you know, bull. But they're playing at home. They've got the energy behind them. You know, they feel like they were done wrong. So they had more to play for, and it showed tonight. I mean, when you get an early goal, you know, basically in the second minute, Clint Dempsey gets outworked on a corner kick, which you don't see very often. DeMarcus Beasley, he's an arm's length off of the goalpost when you're supposed to be on the post. So, look, a couple slights here and there. You know, Michael Orozco, way out of position on the second goal, gets sucked out of position. They come roaring down his side, clip across to the back post. You know, Tim Howard, it just kind of olays it, you know. Brad Guzan goes out, lays out for that ball, gives an attempt. Might not get it, but, you know, it's better than just standing there and looking like a dope as it goes in right past you. You know, I'm not the world's biggest Tim Howard fan, and tonight I agree with Phil Shane. He was average at best tonight, And, you know, he made the easy saves, the one that were right at him. And actually, you know, I'll give him credit. He had the early save right before the first goal, and then Joel Campbell came in early in the second half, or actually late in the first half, and had an opportunity, and he came out and made a nice save. But, you know, that third goal really, really bugs me, because he only had to run about 15 yards to clear it out, where the other guys had to run 30 yards to get to it. So, you know, it just – there's a lot of different layers here, Daniel, that sort of built up to just what was a very bad performance. You're right. Earl is right. If you're going to lose any of these games going down the stretch, it's the away matches. You take care of business at home, you're in the World Cup, no fuss, no muck. So, you know, it's on to Mexico on Tuesday night, and, you know, it's going to be a real nervous 3 or 4 days for me, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame it at all. Joining us now, Kartik Krishnar from World Soccer Talk. And Kartik, what's your assessment from this 3-1 loss to Costa Rica tonight?
Yeah, I'll agree with Chris. I apologize for being on late. First off, USL
no
title game tomorrow. Orlando, and all of us at the pub were making our travel plans to go up to Orlando for the game. So I apologize for the delay. I agree with Chris on Tim Howard. I've been calling for Brad Guzan for a while. Gotten a lot of flack for it, by the way. But I think Howard's positioning sense and his reaction on in open play is not quite as good as he was on. Now, you could argue maybe on set pieces he's better. Maybe he's more vocal with his back line. Maybe better. Howard's maybe better also when he's gone. But as a pure shot stopper and reading the game towards him, I think Bazan is head and shoulders above Howard. We see that every week. I think the Orozco experiment at right back was I don't want to say killed the best, but I think play a but
Carter, you're jumping in and out, Carter. Try.
It seems like Jermaine Jones had to do far too much work at the central midfield positions because Jeff Cameron wasn't mobile enough. He wasn't linking up well with the attacking players. I thought Jermaine Jones had a pretty good game. I am concerned, obviously, about the effectiveness of some of the wide play. But I agree with Chris. You know, these away matches in CONCACAF are very difficult. We knew this match was going to be tough. Now we're going to fix Mexico in 3 days or 4 days. A team that was humiliated today got an early goal against Honduras at a second, then just run off the pitch in the second half from what I saw. So, good for Honduras. That's a great victory for them. But it's also a tremendous indictment of where Mexico is, and it's going to make Mexico incredibly desperate.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cardick, if you can try and get to a better position, we can get a better signal, or if you want to call back, that's fine. But I want to go to this surprising result, once again, as Cardick was talking about. And I've been saying this on my show for the last couple of weeks now, Webby. I had a funny feeling Honduras was going to go into the Azteca and they were going to pull 3 points against Mexico in the Azteca. And even though an early goal by Oribe Peralta put Mexico ahead 1-0, boom and boom in the second half, and Honduras, through 90 minutes, they go into the monster that is the Azteca, or maybe the monster has been slain, because they just did something I never thought I was going to see, but I had a funny feeling. They get a 2-1 victory in the Azteca. It is the full 3 points, and they go into the automatic spot in third place of the hex. Mexico right
Daniel,
now.
I saw, let me just jump in real quickly on that. I saw Honduras train earlier this week in Fort Lauderdale. They trained in Fort Lauderdale and flew to Mexico City on Wednesday, I believe. Yeah, it was Wednesday because they trained Monday, Tuesday in Fort Lauderdale. And I went to their training session on Monday, and they were very confident. And I mean, I've been around the Honduran team before because they train in Fort Lauderdale often before their qualifiers. I talked to them before they played Mexico previously. It's always been like, well, let's see if we can get a point. This time, they thought they could get 3 points, which I thought was ludicrous. But you and they called it right. Great performance from them. Incredible atmosphere. Incredible achievement, which now puts them in a position where they can qualify automatically for Brazil, and also puts Mexico in this position where they're going to have to get something either in Columbus against the U.S. or in San Jose against Costa Rica, both of which are places that they have not performed well historically. They won in Costa Rica last qualifier, but they didn't 97, 2001, 2005 have not done well there. And the way Costa Rica is playing right now, they're much better than Mexico, quite frankly, as horrible as that sounds.
Yeah, go ahead, Webby. What's your opinion about this result? 2-1 Honduras at the Estadio Azteca. And like I said before, I said there's a possibility they could pull the big upset and get the full 3 points at the Azteca. What do you think about that, Webby?
Well, I wish you had told me that earlier. I'd have put some money on it, perhaps, and we'd be rich right now.
Exactly.
But, you know, the way this hex is playing out, and I'm going to kind of bring this back to the U.S., is more about what other teams aren't doing, you know, in addition to what the U.S. is doing. You know, they had a good you know, they had 13 points in four matches, basically. You know, a nice five-game unbeaten run to get to the top of the table until tonight, of course, when Costa Rica takes the lead on them. But, you know, while the U.S. was winning, everybody else was either drawing or losing, and tonight was no different. You know, Jamaica going down to Panama and getting a surprise result, you know, a scoreless tie, and, of course, the Honduras win over Mexico, did nothing but help the U.S., even if they were to lose. And, look, you know, going into this game, as well as the U.S. was playing, as much confidence, I said this is their opportunity to finally get the demons out in Costa Rica. But, bang, you know, 10 minutes in, I'm already out of, off of my couch and heading up to my room to watch out the rest of it. So, you know, but the bright side for the U.S. is that, and you never want to do this, but they could back into the World Cup due to what everybody else is doing. So, you know, again, it doesn't matter where they finish in the group. All you need to do is get there. And to me, you know, the Mexico match obviously is very, very, very important. But the real important match to me is the one that follows against Jamaica. Because if they happen to slip up against Mexico, this, you know, that Jamaica match becomes the match. They win that match, they're in. So, you know, they've got two opportunities to clinch it. Obviously, you would love to do it at the expense of Mexico and perhaps knock them out at the same time, which would be fantastic. But, you know, as we talked about before Carter came on with us, the U.S. has the advantage now. They've got two of their final three games at home, with two of them coming in a row, where Honduras has to go on the road to tough games in Jamaica. And, Costa Rica, rather, has to go to Jamaica and Honduras and then turn around that final game against Mexico, and who knows what that game's going to mean, you know. So, to me, it's more about what has happened outside of what the U.S. is doing than what the U.S. is doing at times.
Oh, absolutely there, Webby. And, Cardick, here's the thing, because at the moment now, Mexico is in the playoff against New Zealand. Could it be conceivable?
Right.
Could it be conceivable, Cardick, that if Mexico does lose on Tuesday night in Columbus and they have to go to the new stadium in Costa Rica as well as host Panama in the last two games, not in that order, obviously, but could Mexico fall to either to the fifth spot and be on the outside looking in? We've never said this about Mexico. Could this happen?
It's possible, but this was a very poor result for Panama today. I think that Panama's result was really disappointing for that. That probably keeps Mexico in that fourth spot. Panama would have to go to the Azteca and win, which I don't see them doing. Obviously, Panama's performed well against Mexico. They got a draw at home in the earlier qualifier, and they beat them twice in the Gold Cup. Again, that Mexico team in the Gold Cup, it was did not in any way resemble the team that they're going to field in qualifying. But they could finish fourth, and going to New Zealand is not going to be easy. And given their crisis of confidence at Azteca, and I'll be honest, before the U.S. game starts, we're watching Mexico, and we see they score a goal in the sixth minute, and we're thinking, okay, what's happened at Azteca, three consecutive scoreless ties, they're over that, even though I rate Honduras highly, and as I've said before, I interact with their team, probably more than I interact with the U.S. I thought, okay, this Mexico is now on a mission. They're going to come out. They're going to slam these guys at home. But it didn't turn out that way. In fact, Honduras used that goal, getting up the early goal to keep their shape and chase the game. And before you knew it, they were ahead and had chances to actually make it 3-1. They had better chances to make it 3-1 than Mexico did to equalize after Honduras got two goals. So really embarrassing performance again at Azteca. I feel like Mexico may play better away from home. Maybe they'll play better on Tuesday night. Maybe they'll play better in San Jose. Because there's something about Azteca now. The pressure. Chapo can't seem to get his kind of correct. So I think they have that.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned. I think as this is set up, they're in a where they will with two of the last three games at home, if this is where we can continue to to push forward to try and win the Hex.
Right. Well, gentlemen, let me just tell you right now, Twitter's going crazy at the moment because De La Torre has not gotten to the podium yet to talk about this loss against Honduras. And many people are right now assuming that De La Torre has just been sacked. It's not official. It's just some talk on the moment through Twitter, because Juan Arango from Gold TV says Chepo didn't resign. Looks like he's getting the sack. We don't know yet. It's not official. Eric Gomez from Gold TV, Gold.com, excuse me, is also assuming that he's going to get sacked here, De La Torre.
Jump in real quickly about Juan. He's obviously a good friend of mine. I do a lot of work with him down here in South Florida. Juan was right about Diogo Forlan. He was right about the story when Chepo had supposedly been sacked earlier this summer, it being incorrect. So Juan's sources in Latin American soccer are as good, if not better, than anyone in the U.S. media. So if he's hearing that Chepo may have been sacked, then you can put some stock into it.
Well, we'll see what happens here, but I don't blame him. Go ahead, Webby.
Just to throw something in here, another Twitter report, Grant Wall reporting that Michael Bradley to get an MRI tomorrow. So, and he says he may call in reinforcements for suspended players as soon as tonight, which is obviously this morning here on the East Coast, and right
Absolutely.
About 12:25 a.m. So I'm not sure we're going to see Michael Bradley on Wednesday. I think we should all kind of mentally prepare ourselves for that. And more importantly, the team should do that, because it really rattled them tonight. And I'm not going to blame the loss on that. Like I said earlier, it certainly didn't help matters. But, you know, you need to be able to pull yourself above that. They've got enough talented players. And by the way, I believe U.S. Soccer also put out an APB for Clint Dempsey tonight. So, you know, missing persons report. Because Clint Dempsey has not been very, very sharp since his return from Europe, and that's including, you know, his two or three matches with the Sounders. And he does this every once in a while for the U.S. Granted, he did score the goal, you know, got a bit fortunate, but, you know, when Clint plays bad, it seems the rest of the team, you know, seems to follow suit. But I was happy to see Landon Donovan. I thought Landon Donovan was very active tonight. I think he created a number of opportunities for the U.S. It just seems like players were not on the same page. And so that's what I got to say about that.
Absolutely. And it's also, Carter, very good to see Donovan back in the starting 11 for tonight, even though it was due to a loss. But I still think it was pretty good to see Donovan up front on the U.S. squad. Obviously, he'll be probably in the squad for Tuesday against Mexico. But I do agree with Webby, it's nice seeing Donovan back with the starting 11. Kardec?
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Donovan. I mean, we'll judge this as it goes along. I mean, I'm not as wild about everybody else about integrating a player that abandoned the team for a while. At the same time, he has got a greater pedigree than the other guys in the U.S. team. But I mean, the U.S. has more depth than just about any international team now on the planet. Very few teams with the depth and the squad selection headaches, if you will, that Clinton has. I mean, certainly a lot of sides wish they had our issues as far as selecting players. So Donovan isn't necessarily an automatic choice for me. He's going to have to prove last qualifier.
Yeah, definitely right there, Kardec. But I will say this, guys, is that for the USA, and at the moment, Klinsmann is talking with the media. Unfortunately, I can't hear it at the moment on BeIN Sport. But you know what, though? Full credit to Costa Rica. You know, they were really on the ball tonight. Unfortunately for the U.S., they were not – I wouldn't say they weren't prepared. It's just that I just think that Costa Rica wanted it more because of the snowball and all that other baloney. But we'll see what happens here when Mexico goes to Columbus. And you know what? It's do or die. It's really do or die for the U.S. I shouldn't say for the U.S. It's more do or die for Mexico, because they're in a situation I never thought I would ever see them in. Let's be honest, Webby. You never thought you'd see Mexico in this situation. And I said I had a funny feeling about it, and it came true.
Yeah, I am in looking at that match, and first of all, just on Kardec's comments about Donovan, I don't necessarily disagree with you, but if Graham Zusi and Fabian Johnson throw out clunkers like they did tonight, it's not a very difficult choice for Klinsmann to add Landon Donovan into the lineup. That being said, Tuesday night's game is more important for Mexico, obviously, because if they only get a point or they lose, they're in serious danger of being out of the World Cup, or at least, you know, being able to get an automatic qualifying berth. You know, their next match will be at Panama, and Panama has played them very well down there in Mexico, so Panama will have everything to play for in that match, and they'll be within arm's reach should Mexico loses or ties against the U.S. of overtaking them, and that's got to scare the hell out of Mexico. But even if the U.S. loses, I think they're still in good shape. Now, mentally, they won't be in good shape because, you know, they would have lost two straight games heading into those final two games of qualifying, particularly with Jamaica coming up at home in October. I think they're in good shape there. But, look, you want to do yourself a favor here, and you want to get the win. You know, I'll say it, even a point will be good enough for me on Tuesday night, but I certainly want to see them win. I want them to get this locked up as soon as possible and move on, you know, and start getting some of the younger guys into the lineup. But tonight's result throws that in doubt because this thing's probably going to end up going to Game 10 for the U.S. and going to play in Panama at Game 10 without a World Cup berth secured. Going to be a real issue, but I somehow think they will pull it together to get it done.
I agree there, too. Clark, any final thoughts of this result and Tuesday night?
Yeah, in reality, the result probably won't matter if the U.S. takes care of business at home. So I love how we become incredibly reactionary every time the U.S. loses the game. Not we, not the three of us, but other people in the blogosphere and in the media. I don't think they're concerned. But the concerns when you existed, the 12-game winning streak didn't fool me as far as concerns that the U.S. has on the back line, and particularly what I consider to be an issue at goalkeeper that will probably have to be resolved before the World Cup, making the change to Guzan. But, you know, otherwise, I didn't learn anything new from the game. I know going down to San Jose is tough. They still have a great home field advantage, even at the stadium. So I think really what we learned tonight is that Mexico is shattered confidence-wise, but then take a 1-1 lead to Honduras and respect them and lose.
All right, Webby, any final thoughts from you?
Like I said earlier, it's going to be a nervy couple days heading into that Mexico match because this was an unforeseen element heading into this match. I don't think anybody thought that both the U.S. and Mexico were going to lose tonight. So this kind of stirs the pot a little bit, makes it certainly more interesting, a bit nervy, and as they say across the pond, it's going to be twitchy bum time on Tuesday night, you know, heading into this game. And I'm with Kardec on this one. Seeing the forest through the trees is not exactly a perspective of your average U.S. soccer fan. You know, as Kardec says, they are very reactionary from wins and losses. So let's calm down a little bit. Let's regroup. We've got the better team. We've got the better players. We will be in the World Cup. They just need to get it done.
All right. And final thought for me, obviously, I agree with both of you. De La Torre has not been sacked. Going through Twitter here, Eric Gomez from Goal.com says he's at the podium and he's giving out his press conference right now to the Mexican media. So he's not been sacked. So join us, of course, for Tuesday night, USA-Mexico. It's going to be big. It's going to be fantastic. We'll see what happens. Final score at the National Stadium in San Jose, Costa Rica. The Ticos win it 3-1 over the U.S. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday night for more FIFA World Cup qualifying. The U.S. still on the verge of qualification to Brazil. We'll see what happens. For Chris Webb and for Carter Krishnayer, I'm Daniel Foyer's team. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining me tonight. And enjoy the rest of your morning. Take care now. Bye-bye.